Hi, babes.
Hey, babeologists.
How's it going? Welcome to the show this week.
Mm-hmm.
This week, Betty LaRue was on. She is a burlesque performer and general wonderful gal.
Yeah.
And we had a really good time. We talked for like an hour before we actually started recording.
I showed up a little late. And then we
talked for another hour.
Yeah.
And then almost another hour after that. So you got a good little snippet in the middle. What did we talk about? We talked about burlesque. We talked about body feels. We talked about self-love.
We talked about like family relationships.
Yeah, family.
Trying to grow up like in your family, you know, trying to claim like who you are and be like, this is me.
Yeah.
And like them trying to come to terms with that.
Yeah.
She had a really good story about that.
Yeah.
That I loved a lot.
Yeah, that was cool.
And she's just like so supportive of just like all the different performing arts communities, especially the ones that aren't as mainstream as others,
right,
and just like lifting everybody up with that. And she's like inviting us to go do burlesque with her.
Yeah. Amateur-lesque. In September.
Yeah.
Look out for it.
Catch me and Christine taking our clothes off.
Maybe.
Well,
Brian's going to do it.
I'll probably do it.
I'm going to have to like,
this seems like the good opportunity to do it.
I want to do it. I'm just going to have to like be brave.
Yeah. Right. You're already brave.
I am. I'm brave.
And you're a narcissist.
And, so. Oh, you're right. Actually, yeah, I'm a perfect fit. So I don't know what I'm saying by being modest.
So not you.
Yeah, it's really not. You're right. All right. Well, this is coming out. What do you want to plug?
Oh, I'm good on plugging.
You're good?
We've been plugging a lot.
We've
been plugging so much. I want you guys to listen to Betty's plugs at the end.
Yeah.
She had a few plugs.
Yeah.
Listen to those. Write those down.
Yeah.
Check it out on the Facebook.
Right.
But no, we're good.
We're good on the plugs?
I think we're good on the plugs. If you're good on the plugs, I'm good on the plugs.
I'm going to plug one thing.
Go for
it. And that's a show called Do Ha Ha at Do Mama.
Oh, yeah.
Which is happening at the end of May on the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a really good show.
What day is the 27th?
It's a Saturday.
Oh, that's nice.
It's from like 7 to 9, you know, 7:30 to 9. The shop's going to be open. It's a woman-owned business in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And they have delicious treats and drinks and things. So come out for that. It's $8. Get your tickets online. It's really easy to find. It's just Do-ha-ha.
And who's on?
Facebook.
Like who's?
So who's on? Okay. Amber's on it. Amber Falter.
Yeah, yeah.
Dustin Meadows.
All right.
And Pat Deering? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Yes, and you're hosting.
Yes. No. Pat's hosting.
Oh, Pat's hosting.
Yeah. And we're all going to do like 15 or 20.
Yeah.
So it's going to be cool. It's going to be a good show. Yeah. Sorry. I had to think about the host because it was going to be Johnny, but then he has a wedding. So then anyway.
This is great for the babologist.
Yeah, you should cut that out.
I'm going to cut that out.
So that's all I have to plug. The podcast festival will be happening before this comes out.
Yeah.
But
hopefully it went well.
Really excited.
Hopefully Brian's still alive.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're all still plugging away, getting excited. We will be having a podcast showcase like coming up later in the summer in August. So look out for that, I guess.
Cool.
Aside from that, let's get into this.
Thanks,
guys.
Love you.
Bye. Kisses.
Chance, balance, night of dance, and creep on the couch for another 5 hours. It's a real marathon.
Have you done a Peg Bundy for less number?
No, but I did her for Halloween one year with real hair. Like, I stacked my hair up
I believe
here,
it.
And I walked around, and it was 11. leopard print top and black leggings before everyone was fucking wearing leggings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And heels. And I just like sauntered around all night like
oh
this.
Oh my God.
And I'd be like, ah. And of course it goes into the Fran Drescher because for some reason, I am a Jewish woman from Queens as well. I don't know how.
Who knew?
I don't know. I don't know where it came from.
Oh my God. Fran Drescher and Peg Bundy.
Yeah. Had a baby, a love child. It was me.
Heaven.
And a little bit of Barbara Streisand right in there, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got the nostrils, like the...
Yeah.
The Barbara look.
Yeah.
I think that that's why I'm so...
The Yentl
look. Like, but that's the thing. I think that that might be part of the reason why people... I still have that to me because as a child, my aunts would be like, oh my God, she looks like a little Barbara. She looks like a little Barbara. She looks like a little Babs. And I was just like, all right, gonna run with this one. This
Here
is
we
who
are.
I am. Yeah. Apparently, I am a very loud, boisterous female. And
oh my God. When I was a kid, I was always trying to get attention. So that's how I started trying to make people just look at me just all the time.
Hey,
I'm over here. Please look at me. Please be entertained by whatever I'm doing.
I was a little performer. I think that I really started to worry my mother as a performer as a child because my super, super small town that I was telling you about earlier, like super, super bodunk small country town. They were having like a festival and they had a talent like show type thing. And you could just get up on stage and do something. And I was like, Mom, I want to sing. And I was like 8 years old and I got up on stage and Mom's like, okay, Elizabeth, sing something. She's like, I thought you were going to go up and do like, I'm a Little Teapot. And I get up there and I was like, ragdoll living in the city, hot tramp, daddy's little cutie. And she's like, you cannot sing ragdoll. Get off that stage, young lady. And so like, I started early. I loved Aerosmith.
You were...
I was like 8 years old and I'm like, I don't know, but you never see me leaving out the back door. Mom is like, oh God, get off that stage. You're embarrassing me in front
of
everyone in town and everyone knows everyone.
Wow.
And they're going to think what kind of parents we are. And
that's just who you are
as
a person.
That's just who I was. Yeah, it's always been who I was.
Is that like, do you think it was just like in you or is like, were you inspired by your parents or like, what was it?
Okay, so I come from an extremely conservative background.
Yeah.
My mom and dad, like my mom especially, my mom is extremely Christian, very, very conservative. It has like a lot of tears to it too. Like as I'm getting older, I'm starting to see all the different tears where it's like, well, my mom's mom was really hard on her and was very don't be conceited. Don't think you're too pretty. Stand up straight. Suck in your gut. Push out your chest.
Ugh.
Like very much like that, but also very like Christian background.
Yeah.
Very, very conservative. Like, don't wear stuff like that. People will think you're this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You shouldn't wear that red lipstick. It makes you look like a whore.
Yeah.
You know, like that sort of thing. But also just that really ridiculous Christian background where I've like had to be like, Mom, you sound literally crazy. Like I can't even look at you on Facebook right now because you were sharing like she shared something where Rush Limbaugh. I know she used to listen to Rush Limbaugh when I was little.
Jeez, oh man.
And I remember just being like, this guy sounds like he's full of shit. Or like she put something on Facebook where this like prophet is prophesizing Trump as, you know, God's chosen president. And I was like, take that shit down right now, Mom. That it's crazy. You look fucking crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it always really bothered me. And I always, even as like a child, would fight my mom on this stuff. Like when I was little, there was a point where Mom and I got into an argument and I was like, Mom, I just don't think the Bible makes any sense. I'm not kidding you. I was again around like 8 years old because we were living in Mount Victory at the time. Like I remember what house it was happening in.
Yeah.
And we moved out of that house when I was in kindergarten. So I guess I would have been like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
But I was like, Mom, I don't believe the Bible. It doesn't sound right. Like she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, where are the dinosaurs? And she's like, I'm sure that, you know, like people have it wrong and dinosaurs and humans live together. And I was like, no, Mom, no, that didn't happen. I was there when the dinosaurs were there and there were no people. And that is like, that was my argument for my mom. And I fought Mom on religion all growing up.
Yeah. I did that with my dad too. Yeah.
And now like I've gotten to the point where I just kind of like step back. I'm like,
yeah,
I can't do it. Cause like you're like reaching borderline insanity with some of this
stuff.
And like my dad's actually kind of worried about you.
Yeah.
And you probably should get off Facebook cause that is only causing, cause I'm like, pretty sure you're like, I have anxiety. Becky has anxiety. We're all a little like up and down. We could have a touch of bipolarism. So yeah. maybe you should stay away from the internet because I'm pretty yeah. sure that that is passed on through the family.
Right, right. Yeah. And maybe like, go to the doctor.
Maybe go see a doctor.
Maybe.
Maybe I'm like, Mom, can you join the Y? Maybe you should start working out. Yeah. I know that you are like retired now. Can you find a hobby?
Yeah.
Start riding your bike or something?
Yeah. yeah. Occupy that mind. But
there's
of yours.
An entire flip side to that too. So like both of my parents are very, very conservative mm-hmm. and all of that. And actually, they found out I did burlesque by finding me on YouTube. So that was actually my mom found me on YouTube. So that was a really fun situation. So about this had been like 9 years ago when like, again, when burlesque was really small here in Columbus, yeah. we were it was the Ooh La La's were just me, Becky Buxom and Krista Kitty at the time. And we were asked to do this like small town movie called Ozhio. And it's like a Wizard of Oz type Ohio Ooh. Movie. It was Ooh. Actually fun to do.
Wait, can I see that still?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it on YouTube?
So the trailer for it is on YouTube.
Okay.
But I love have the
Wizard of Oz.
Oh my God. It's really cute. And it was kind of weird, but it was really cute. And my mom was watching the trailer for it. And you know how like when you're on something on YouTube, it suggests other things. And it was before I had chosen my stage name. So that's how long ago this was.
Wow.
My mom's like, oh, you know, she sings this. And so she clicks on it. And I get a phone call and it's like, so I saw the video of you singing These Boots Are Made for Walking on YouTube. And at first I was like, this is really great. But then I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And so we had to have this whole conversation. She's like, I'm not going to tell your father, but I'm just worried. What if one day you become famous? And I had to be like,
that would be great.
Yeah. If I become famous, it's going to be because of this.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's funny because it does remind me of that joke that you tell about your mom.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you're like, you know, but my mom's like, what if you become famous was like, what if you become a senator's wife?
Yeah.
You know, like that sort of thing. Like, yeah. what if it tarnishes your relationship right. with a man someday?
Yeah.
I was like, fuck that shit.
That's not.
Like, seriously, fuck that shit.
Yeah. It's probably like, not going to happen.
Yeah. And I mean, like, and so, you know, in my adult life, right before I started doing burlesque, I was in a very controlling, abusive relationship. I was living in upstate New York. It was kind of a mess. I was away from my friends. I was away from my family. It was one
so
of those
isolated.
People that would like try isolating me more and use things like I was in my first cover band then, and he would say things like, if I didn't trust you, I wouldn't let you be in this band.
Ew.
And I've never let a girlfriend of mine wear jean skirts before. And
ew.
Just like really horrible things to wear. Like when I left, and I was like 20 at the time. Ugh, when I left, we like got into a huge argument. And I left at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Ugh.
And he like was pretty much like, fine, get out of here, you drunk whore bitch or something. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So I immediately, you know, did the next thing that you should do in a situation like that and move back to Columbus and started stripping.
Right.
Like
right.
that's exactly what you should do in that situation. That's how that works. I did it because I was reclaiming my body.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
fuck
this is mine.
Do that.
This is me. This is who I am. This is my body.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of had that like, well,
if do you mean stripping like actual stripping or
no,
like
burlesque?
Okay, okay. I just wanted to clarify.
It's really
either
funny.
Way, it's
no,
fine. Yeah.
Of course. Like, it's really funny because I've had to come to that realization too. It's like when I first started doing burlesque here in Columbus, we would be like, we're not strippers. We're not strippers. We do classy stuff and you can't hold our costumes in the palm of your hand. And then as I started to let my mind open up and as I started to be like, hey, that's really fucking shitty because what they do is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I am a stripper. And like, I would never say that I'm a sex worker because what I do is not, it's entertainment.
Yeah.
It's not exactly sex work. And I don't mean that as in like sex work is bad. Like,
no.
I don't have the emotional core and the strength to do what sex work is.
Right.
And that
right.
should be something that is protected and they should be.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to put myself on their level because I don't come from that background. I will support them and I will stand for them. And what I do is not nearly as personally involved as what they do. You know, like it's one of those things where I almost feel like calling myself a sex worker is not, it's not liberating to them. It's not being a good ally to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's more like, oh, but I do it too. And I don't want, I hate that kind of activism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm like, no, I'm not a sex worker.
Right.
Sex workers fucking awesome. They do awesome things. They should be fucking protected.
Yes.
What I do is entertainment.
Right.
On a sexual level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And some, and in some performers, it does cross paths and, mm-hmm. you know, more power to you. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to. Because I don't want to take your name.
You know, like,
I
don't want to take what you don't want to insult them.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, no, I do not put that much effort into, you know, like.
Yeah.
I please myself when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
You have to please.
You have to please an audience.
Yeah. And it's, yep. So.
Yeah. It's not necessarily the same, but it's right. similar.
It's similar.
Yeah.
It's similar because I do use my sexuality in my.
Yeah. It's like a Venn diagram, if you will.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's definitely one of those things where I'm like, because I read something like where somebody was like, I wish burlesque dancers would stop calling themselves sex workers because you're not.
Right, right.
And I'm like, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. I don't want to take your I do not have the same stigma that is placed on me that you have placed on you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I by saying that I'm a sex worker isn't helping you any.
No, it's just me being
like, oh, and I have this burden to bear too. Like,
No,
I don't have this burden to bear.
Right, right. Like, yeah.
I don't. It's the stigma doesn't lay on me. It mm-hmm. does at some points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will, like, certain people will misunderstand what I, like, what my performance is or what kind of boundaries we have. And
yeah.
so it does. Like, we do have those stigmas that do get crossed every once in a while, but it's nothing in comparison.
It's nothing
to,
like that. Yeah. yeah. Interesting that this came up because when you were talking about your parents, like, finding your burlesque on YouTube, I was thinking about how, you know, people who work in porn, like when their parents find out they work in porn, it like sounded like that same sort of conversation, like, but like on this like very like smaller scale.
Mine's
but because
very, like puppy dogs and kitty cats and theirs are very
right.
like
right.
tires squealing. Like
yeah. But because your parents are so conservative, it seemed like they maybe had the same reaction.
The funny thing is, you know, so my mom's worry was, what will people think of you?
Yeah.
And that's always been a big worry for my mother. Like, what will people say?
Right.
And that's a very small town thing.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
you get that, like, you mm-hmm. know everyone. There, right. Everyone lives in glass houses.
Yeah.
So, like, what people think of you depend, like, and my mom also grew up in an alcoholic household.
Yeah.
So she had that, you know, people looking down on her. She didn't have the best family type
right.
thing. So she had that mentality, and she's grown with that mentality. And so her worry was, what do people think of you? What if this comes out? What kind of man will you find mm-hmm. doing this? Like, how are you going to settle down and be a mom?
Yeah.
You know, like, how are you going to have a career? How, you know, like, it was all of these things that don't really affect me. You know?
Do you like, think a lot of it was like, I'm going to say, how will people think of you? But I mean, how will people think of me?
Right.
Is that it?
I think that there is a slight bit of that as well.
Yeah.
I think that the reflection is also something that was very worrisome to her. And I will say, like, she told me, she's like, I'm not going to tell your dad. I'm not going to tell your dad. But to be honest, when my dad found out, he again was kind of shocked. But my dad's been a huge supporter.
Oh, that's great.
Like, in the best way that he can.
Yeah.
You know, like
right,
in the best
right.
way that a conservative family.
Yeah.
Can, like, my parents are actually very proud of me.
Yeah.
Like,
that's great.
They've kind of come to grasp that I strip on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And they, so my dad got a motorcycle after all of us kids got out of the house. It was a promise my mom made to him when they got married. And so they're really adorable. They're riding around on this motorcycle all the time. My mom's like his hot lady on the back. It's really cute.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really fucking adorable. Yeah. So my dad went to Hayden Runner, I think is what it's called, but one of those like biker like convention type things. I don't know. They get together like Comic-Con or something. I don't know. They all wear their leather and they don't think it's weird.
Yeah.
So they.
Jen.
Well, I just say, like, you make fun of, like,
yeah.
these are the type of people that would be like, what are you guys doing at Comic-Con?
Leather
like,
daddies.
What do you get?
Yeah.
You're all dressed in leather in 90 degree weather and you're calling us weirdos?
Yeah.
Like, what's
no.
wrong with you?
Yeah, come on.
But he was like, well, I saw these pasties. There was this lady there selling pasties and I saw these pasties and they were like, cards and hearts and Queen of Hearts type stuff. And my dad's cousin has come to see our shows. One of his girlfriends had really liked burlesque. And so he'd come to see the shows. And he said, you know, Jim told me that you do a Queen of Hearts number. And I've seen the pictures of the costume that you made. And I thought these pasties would look really cool. But I felt weird buying pasties for you. And I was just like, the fact that you thought about it
that much. Yeah.
Like means so much to me.
That is so sweet.
Yeah.
That is really cute.
It's more than like... I don't know. It would have been super fucking awesome to be like, yeah, my dad bought these pasties. But like, just the idea that he thought about doing it, that he was like that into it.
Yeah.
It's like, this would look really good with that costume I saw that she made on stage.
Yeah.
That means the world to me.
That's how it feels when my dad's like, oh, I saw that joke on Facebook and like it made me laugh out loud. And then it's like recounting it to me like as he's laughing. And I'm like, that is just like... The nicest thing. Yeah, that's so cute. Go ahead.
No. No, I was going to say, like...
So polite. Two gals.
Yeah, we're just like, oh, you. No, oh, you, no go. You go. I'm sorry. You go.
God, women are the worst.
Oh, goodness. We're so polite feminist over here. We're just like... Oh, no, you talk before me.
You're right. I'm unqualified to be speaking. I'm designing a whole workshop around that. I want you to know it's called Proud Mouths. If you want to come,
I should definitely come. I want to.
It's going to be great.
Absolutely. I just want to be like,
anyway,
your opinion is probably more important than mine. Yeah. I probably don't have anything very important or intelligent to say.
Yeah.
which is actually, that it is actually a train of thought my mother has.
Yep.
My mother is the type of woman that will say, oh, I don't know how to do this when she's doing something, even though she's brilliant at it, because she would rather have already prepared you for her to fail.
Yeah.
Then put herself out there to fail because
yeah.
I don't know anything. I'm a woman. It's a confidence thing.
Yeah.
You're always like, I'm just not
going
to.
That's how we're culturally brought up.
Yeah. That's how. Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
It is so weird. You're brought up to not think that you're any good.
Yeah.
Don't think you're good. People will think that you're conceited.
Yeah.
If you're good and you're proud of it, you're conceited.
That's like my comic perspective.
Yeah.
Like I am a narcissist and I love it.
Oh my God. I'm a narcissist. I think one of my favorite quotes is I was like, we all went camping and I was really hungover. And I just like out of nowhere was just like, you know what? I wouldn't want to be friends with anyone else but me.
Yeah.
I was like at a very high moment.
I am. Oh, my God. I'll share this. This is embarrassing, but I'm doing a show at Domama at the end of May. And I was like, who should I get to host this show? It has to be like someone fun and like someone who can like get the crowd going. And then I was like, oh, I really want to host it.
Absolutely.
It's me.
Who am I thinking about right now? Who am I thinking about? Me. I literally had a friend of mine that used to say narcissist much to me because I would say shit and he'd be like,
yeah,
narcissist much. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm fucking wonderful.
Have you met me? You're right. I'm great.
Have you fucking met me? I'm awesome.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just have to do that. And again,
I know.
Like, you know, you and I, we talk about like our anxiety and stuff. Like sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to be like, look in the mirror and be like, you're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Now get out of this funk.
Yeah.
And get to work. You got shit to do.
Exactly. You have things to do. Stop wasting time.
Yep. Yeah. Stop wasting time. Stop like sitting in this like... in this like hateful
love yourself right?
you have to and no if one it else comes is gonna
off, right exactly and if it comes off as narcissism I don't care,
blow me.
You know what, I actually like purposefully
sorry
I like purposefully weave narcissism into jokes because I'm like, if somebody could look at me like this like fat femme like on stage just feeling like I love myself, that will encourage them to love themselves.
No, you
too.
Have to, though.
You know, you you have to.
You have to. You absolutely have to. And I've been getting in
it's a message.
Like, I'm getting older and my body's doing things that my body's never done before.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit, I can't eat that anymore because when nothing used to go to my belly, it all went to my ass and my tits. Now it's in my belly.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I've never had this.
Yeah. This is new.
This is new. And then, like, my hormones fucked up.
Yeah.
I've got some, like, cystal issues with my ovaries. So, like, my hormones fucked up and it fucked up my face. And I've always been, like, the clearest skin. And
yeah.
Not, on top of that, I'm like, fuck, I'm graying.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm like, you have to stop. I have to like stop all this like self hate.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, I'm going to age.
Right.
And it's like, it's a society issue that I'm not allowed to age and go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Because I'm still as bad at like,
exactly.
I, you get into that point where you start thinking like, I'm too old for that. Like, I couldn't start a new career in doing this performance. I couldn't do this and this because I'm too old for that.
Yeah.
And I don't have the timeline.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. That's not real.
Yeah.
That's not real.
Right.
Like, there is never a better time than the present, and you're never going to have more time than you have right now.
Yeah.
So get to work.
Go get to work. Get to work. I just told one of my friends that. I was like, imagine 10 years from now not having done any of the things that you want to do.
Right.
And she was like, that is terrifying. I am going to make a video blog right now. And I was like, thank you. Yeah. I'll send me the link. I'll watch it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I want to support you. I want to help you. I want you to, you know, have a vibrant creative career.
Absolutely. One of my favorite things to do is when I am feeling like down and out, I'm like, what would 16-year-old me think of me now?
Yeah.
Oh, she'd be fucking excited.
Yeah.
And you, I'm like, no, I'm doing awesome things.
Yeah.
Get to work.
Like, exactly.
Yeah. So I just love thinking of like the little Bodunk town me being like, look what you did.
Oh my gosh.
And she would just be ecstatic because it would have been like, you moved out of Ridgeway. You stayed out of Ridgeway.
Yeah.
You're performing.
Yeah.
You are like... And that's the thing is, like, you just have to be like, I am worth it. I'm awesome. Let's go.
My favorite thing to tell myself, like, every day if I'm feeling down is, like, just go make yourself proud. Because if you're making yourself proud, then, like, you're probably doing cool things.
Yeah.
And you're probably doing things that you value. And that is all that matters.
Yeah.
So
like,
go
at the end of the
it.
Day, you're not going to have somebody else's happiness or pride for you.
Yeah.
You're not going to have that to hold.
Right.
It's not
right.
something you can hold on to.
Yeah.
You have to have pride in yourself and happiness in yourself. And like, it's very important to have relationships and have people that feed that good energy into you and are proud of you. Like, I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
Even with as conservative and crazy as my family is.
Yeah.
That they still take time to support me and they compartmentalize it so that they can be proud of their daughter.
Yeah.
And that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I 100%, as much as I disagree with them and shit.
Yeah.
I could not be more happy that they're my parents because I'm like, well, if you weren't so conservative, maybe I wouldn't have gone the other way so far.
Yeah.
If, you know, if you like... Growing up, my mom was like, make sure your hair and your makeup look great. And now I'm fucking on fleek. Thanks, mom.
Yeah, right.
you know, like,
yeah,
I, but, it, and again, like, you can go the complete opposite way.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, like, you were forced into femininity and you completely go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fine. That is about finding yourself and who you are.
Right, right.
Like me, I used to check out, like, vintage books on hair and stuff from the library when I was 12.
Oh my God.
So
I love that.
Yeah, I was that kid. I was like, I used to find like vintage cookbooks and try to make things and I would find vintage, like, it was just always me. I had a rotary dial when I was in high school. And this was in 2003 before things became cool to be before it was cool.
So retro.
So I was, but that was just me. Like
yeah.
I would wear like the old lady dresses and everyone was like, she's real tacky. I'm like, yeah, I'm real tacky.
I love it. Yeah.
I'm absolutely tacky. 100%.
I know. I was writing comedy. I think the earliest I can remember is like 8 or 9 when I was just like trying to like write comedy and like, I was just ripping off SNL sketches. Like there wasn't, it wasn't original at all, but I was like trying so hard. So thinking about like making that young Christine proud is so nice because I think she would be really happy.
Right? It's one of those things that is, it makes you feel so good. You're like, man, I'm feeling really shitty about myself. What would 16-year-old me think?
Yeah.
Oh, she's super proud.
Yeah.
And then you just get to be like, I did. I lived my dream.
Yeah.
I did my thing.
Fuck
and
yeah.
And that's awesome. I did what I want. I set out to do something. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And this is what it looks like when you're doing it. It might look like a failure for a moment and it might look like a win for another moment, but this is what it looks like when you're doing something.
Right. When you're doing something. Yeah. I have my 10-year like high school reunion coming up in like November. And yeah, it's like really weird. But like the thing that I'm thinking is like I can go there and tell them that I'm a comedian. And that's what I always said that I would do. And I am.
I'm doing that.
Yeah. I'm not Amy Schumer, but I'm a comedian. Like this is my job, you know? Like I've been paid to do it.
Yeah.
So
I got paid doing what I love.
Yeah.
And How are you doing with those 12 kids and that mortgage?
Oh,
you
good? God. I mean,
not
I'm not.
To say that there's
no,
anything
it's not
wrong
bad.
With that.
It's not bad. It's not, just not me.
It's not me. It's not me. And it was one of those things where people would always tell me that you'll come back. You'll come back to the hometown. Yeah. You're going to want that small town thing. Yeah. You're going to want kids.
Yeah.
And I mean, at one point in my life when I was in high school, I thought that that's what I was supposed to do. Go out, go to college. And then when I was like 24, 25, pop out a
have
couple
kids.
Of kids.
Yeah. Settle down.
And then it didn't happen. And I was like, this feels so much better.
Yeah.
Like, this is me. This is who I should be. Yeah. This is not, you know, this isn't what I thought. Because I wasn't told that there was a
there was a different way. Yeah.
There I wasn't there
but
wasn't
you found
another
it.
Option.
Ugh.
But I found the other option
so
and
great.
I lived the other option.
Yeah.
And it's fucking awesome.
It's great. Yeah.
Like I get like I put something on Facebook. I had found a I have a bell dress. It was somebody made it. It's like a gold gown with the white off the shoulders that I found at a thrift store for like $4.
Oh.
So I went as Belle for Halloween one year.
Yeah.
And I put it on my Muggle page, on my Muggle Facebook page. And someone from my hometown was like, oh my God, I remember when we used to dress up as kids and we, you know, would always do this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
I still dress up.
I dress up every day. I wear costumes more times than not. Like sometimes at Halloween, I'm like, I don't want to wear a costume right now. I'm tired.
Yeah. Find that. Oh God. I love that. That sense of play is like still in your life you still like engage with it and like encourage it to like keep growing and keep like maturing.
I love to like, I'm a host deep down inside. Like,
and
that's
I love
the whole
hosting.
Welcoming committee type me. I'm always like, please come in, enjoy the cookies, have this.
Yeah.
And I'm just such a host.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of events at our home.
Yeah.
You know,
I
do like an annual Christmas party.
Right.
We do a hangover brunch for New Year's.
Yeah.
We just like to, I like to have people over.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of my favorite things is we get real drunk and we go up into my attic, into my closet, and I put everyone in burlesque clothes.
Oh my God.
It's so fun.
That sounds like fun.
But it's me. I'm still that little girl that loves putting on the frilly dresses, and I still love to get dressed up, and I still love the gaudy makeup and the, like, give me jewels. Give me a sparkle. Like, I've always been attracted to glitter. So.
Yeah. Just everywhere.
Just everywhere.
Can we, for a second, I just want to talk to you about going back to like the self-love stuff that we were talking about before.
Yeah.
So I got really into self-love like a couple of years ago, and I was talking to a lot of my friends about it, and I was like, you know, you just like, I just really want to like take care of myself, and I want to love myself, and I want to live my best life. And so one of my friends said to me, how do you do that? Because I don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? How do you not do it? How do you not do that? And so I guess I'm just curious about like when it became conscious to you that you were like living your life in a way that you love and loving yourself, and how maybe if there was a transition from like not loving to yourself to
this is going to sound so cliche and weird. So again, I was in a really bad relationship when I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
And I immediately packed up and I moved home, but I moved to Columbus. I didn't move home because I swore to myself when I left mom and dad's house that I wasn't going to go back to Ridgeway.
Okay.
And so I moved to Columbus and I joined my older sister, Becky, and Krista Kitty in the Ooh La La's.
Yeah.
And I was working and I was working on performing and I was doing this. And my first show came up and I was a nervous wreck and I did it and it felt good. But then as I'm backstage, and my first show was at the Basement. It was actually a really cool venue to do my first show at. Like, but there's like a little side stage area. So I was back there, and my sister's boyfriend at the time is like standing at the door, and he's like, you can't come in, dude. They're changing. And he was like, that girl that went on, I just love her. And I was like, I love me too.
Oh.
Like, I feel really good in this moment.
Yeah.
Like, and I realized, like, because I, you know, after being in that relationship caused me a lot of like, what if you are crazy? What if you, because it's that sort of like
mind control shit.
Yeah. Like, what if I am worthless? What if I'm too hard to handle? What if I am all of these awful things?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I like, it kind of hit me then, like, I love doing burlesque and I feel good doing burlesque.
Yeah.
And it helps me love myself.
Yeah.
And like, like, not to say that I would never end up in another controlling relationship, because that shit happens and you don't realize it's happening.
Oh, absolutely. I've been in one too. Yeah.
But, you know, like, I don't feel like I would knowingly step into that kind of situation yeah. again, because I put down my boundaries.
Absolutely.
I put down my boundaries and yep. I said, this mm-hmm. is what makes me happy. This yep. is who I am. So if you want into my life,
yeah.
you have to step into this boundary. Yeah. I'm not stepping out of it.
Right,
this
right, right.
This is who I am. This yep. is who I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, and that's the thing is, like, I had a boyfriend once who was completely supportive of my burlesque, but he was supportive of my burlesque in a prideful
ew,
manner.
Yeah.
So like, oh, look at my hot girlfriend yeah. on stage. Look, yeah. And there is, it's okay to
yeah,
say that.
It's okay to be proud.
It, absolutely. Yeah. But it, that was the extent of it.
yeah.
You know, it was like when I was on stage, I was that hot girlfriend and yep. that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But at home,
but it wasn't
there was
art.
It wasn't art to him. And there was a jealousy, not over the crowd, not over any other people in the life, but a jealousy over the amount of time and love I spent in my art.
Oh.
You shave your legs for burlesque, but you don't shave for me. You buy sexy lingerie to wear on stage, but you don't buy it for me. I'm like, because that shit's uncomfortable. And that's yeah. why I wear it on stage and take it off.
Yeah.
Like, I can be yeah. sexy at home yeah. with you without having, that's not me.
Yeah.
Right. So if that's who you think I should be at home, then you're not dating me.
You don't
me.
Get it. Yeah.
You're right. not dating me. You're dating my stage persona. Mm-hmm. And that's not okay.
Yeah.
Like, and that's one of those wow. things where like you, I've set myself up and I'm like, I'm not gonna fall into that
yeah.
again. Like,
yeah.
And it takes a lot because everyone has downs.
Yeah.
Everyone falls into those holes and they're yeah. just like, I don't like me today. I don't like the way this feels on me. I don't like the way I feel about something. I'm too tired. I can't do anything right. Like everyone falls in those holes and you have to claw your way out.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have mm-hmm. to. And I mean, like, it's really important. You cannot stay down there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, it's hard too. Like, yeah. especially like I, and I feel like most people do, but I feel it more in the winter,
mm-hmm.
you know, where I just, I want to go home and lay underneath the blankets and not mm-hmm. talk to the world. And I hate everything.
Yeah.
So it really helps when the sunshine comes out like today and I'm like,
yeah.
oh, I feel like the veil has been lifted.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I have a similar story, yeah. you know, I was in this like bad, bad relationship. And afterwards I like spent a lot of years being just like very depressed and like hating myself and like feeling very disconnected from everything.
You feel stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
You idiot. How'd you do that?
So
why were you there? Why were you even there?
Yeah. Like that's when you think about your younger self and you're like, my younger self would be so disappointed in me
yeah.
right now, you know? And that's, I think what's killer
yeah.
is like, how did I get here?
How did I get here?
Yeah,
and why was I there? And
yeah.
why didn't I see it?
Why did I do this to myself?
Right.
And you like blame yourself, but mm-hmm. it's not your fault.
No.
You know, and moving past that is really instrumental to like, I think a self-love journey for sure.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's figuring out like, cause it's not to say that it won't happen again, but you have yeah. to stop blaming yourself.
Right. Absolutely.
And you have to forgive yourself.
Yeah. Oh, you have to forgive yourself before
and
anything.
You do. And you
and
have
then maybe
to know.
Go on a 2-year apology tour. Like I did.
I don't know. I think that taking your stage or Yikes. Clothes off on stage is easier than that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Yeah.
I literally just peeled off everything that I thought was oppressing me.
That's amazing.
It feels good.
What did it feel like?
Day.
What did it feel like at the beginning when you started doing it? Did you ever feel like what was the discomfort like and how did you get past it?
So I didn't go down to Pasties for about a year into my burlesque. Again, there was no other burlesque in town. So it was
yeah.
very like taboo that we did go down to Pasties anyways.
Yeah.
So I didn't go down to Pasties for like the first year or so of my burlesque. And then when I started doing it, it's really weird. There's something very freeing for me personally with burlesque that the second I got on stage and started to dance and take off my clothing, the nervousness of how am I going to take my clothes off on stage dissolved into, am I not taking enough off? Did I not? You know, like it turns into how did I perform on stage with so many clothes on to begin with?
Yeah.
It turns into, so it starts off as this like, people are going to see my body.
Yeah.
And they're going to see all the hateful things that I see about my body.
Yeah.
And, but when you're on stage, there's none of that.
Yeah.
Like I tell people all the time, I feel uncomfortable in a swimsuit at the beach.
Yeah.
And I strip on stage.
Yeah.
Because I feel beautiful up there.
Yeah.
And when you're, and it's so close and personal when you're like on a beach. So like it's freeing.
Yeah.
It's very freeing to be on stage and just be like, yeah. oh, it's all off of me.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, like I, and to have people cheer as you expose the parts of your body that make you the least comfortable and have people hoot and holler while you're doing it. Like, it's amazing.
Wow.
It's one of those things where, like, it is a great feeling. I suggest everyone strip on stage at some point in their life. I highly believe it is therapeutical. Because, like, yeah. Like I said, like, having some, like, having an audience who are like, yes, take it off and scream at yeah. you. And encouragingly
validate
you,
right?
Yeah. While you're showing them the pieces yeah. of you that you typically look in the mirror and you yeah. say, like, this makes me uncomfortable.
Did
today.
That change the way that you thought about your body?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, I had grown up feeling I was an awkward kid. Yeah. I was a nerdy, artsy kid in a farming town.
Yeah.
You know, like, people rode their tractors to school and I was wearing black lipstick and
yeah.
I was listening to, you know, the alternative music that I could get my hands on because there was no internet. you know, like I anything I get my hands on, I was
and
listening
very
to
few options at the library
and
I
very
assume.
Few options. I like, there was no music at the library. No. You needed to go there for books and maybe some VHSs.
Yeah.
But yeah. like, you know, like I would grab my sister's older music or my older sister's music because, you know, she had like Liz Phair and Tori Amos
yeah.
and all of those extremely
good, angry feminists.
Yeah. 90s angry
love
feminist
that.
Women.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I wasn't listening to the music they were listening to. I wasn't dressing the way they wanted me to dress. I was doing things outside of it. Like,
yeah.
And so it was an awkwardness and
yeah.
I felt like nobody liked me
yeah.
and I felt very unattractive and mm-hmm. I felt, you know, like the boys in my class didn't react to me.
Yeah.
And you know, the best reaction or not even the best, but the reaction that I got was I was the first girl in my class to get boobs. And it was like, ah, ha, ha, you've got boobies. And not like, ooh, you know, like I was never
yeah.
like that. So when
it was
I got
like traumatic.
Older, yeah, it was, yeah. it was more like hiding myself.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and so getting older and, you know, starting into this burlesque career where I'm like, I'm a sexy, beautiful woman. It felt, at first it felt very, very, like fake.
Mm.
You know, at first it was like, I'm not...
Fake it till
I'm
you
not
make
this
it.
Person. Yeah, yeah. Like I'm building this persona and this sexy person is this persona and I'm building this and it was like a wall. It was fake. It was a mask.
Yeah.
And then as I grew into it, I'm like, no, I'm Betty.
Yeah.
I'm Betty.
You that's became me. It.
Yeah. Because that's who I was all along.
That
I just,
is hot. I love that. Fake it till you become it.
Fake it till you become it. Yeah. Like, because the mask that you put up on stage.
Yeah.
Is typically just a like magnified version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It was one of those things where I was like, no, wait, I have always been this person that likes
yeah.
big gaudy costumes and vintagey stuff. And
yeah.
like what was I saying? What was I thinking? No, it's not a mask. This is me.
Yeah.
This is me actually being like, no, this is just me.
Yeah.
Oh, so.
I love that. Man, I hate dressing up. I do. I've always hated like Halloween, like do costumes where I'm just like not, I'm no good at it, I think. But I do want to try burlesque at least once.
I'm telling you, you should do amateur lasque.
Okay.
You should come because like this year we're doing.
When is it?
It is going to be this, I think we're going to do it in September. We did
okay.
it August last year,
okay.
but we're starting a little late. But yeah, it raises money for Mikey's Peltonia. He always
yeah.
rides 180 miles. So
yeah.
that's like more biking than I can even imagine.
Oh, God.
So he rides to Gambiern and back, which is just crazy.
Yeah.
And I drive there and I'm like, I'm exhausted. It's really early. They got to drive here. But so, and then to raise money, we do the amateur lesque. And this year we're doing vets and cadets.
Yeah.
So we're taking veteran burlesque dancers and we're taking our amateurs and we're pairing them up. So you'll get like a personal person that'll be like,
yes.
No, it's cool. We can do it like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you want
to
do this?
To teach you, yeah.
So it's one-on-one.
We should do that for
than,
comedy too, since you want to do comedy.
Yes, I do want to do comedy.
Yeah.
Can we just like trade
yeah.
stuff?
Yes. Hell yes. I'm just, all like, about trade.
Oh my God. I think
yes.
that, I mean like, that's how the world should work.
Yeah. That's great.
Trade is really good.
Sorry, I cut you off in the middle of amateur lesson.
No, but no. So we're doing a vets and cadet show
yeah.
and you know, we're pairing them off and we're going to find out, you know, whose personality matches which burlesque performer the best. And
yeah.
then we just, you know, have them work through as like an apprenticeship through the whole thing and
yeah.
come up with a number that way. So
yeah.
to be, you know, like Betty, you know, working with so-and-so and here's their number.
Right.
And so you get like a, a mentor.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire process.
Oh, I love that.
I'm really excited about
it. Such a good idea.
I'm so excited. Ugh. I think that I've got some burlesque dancers that are really wonderful that are really on board with it.
Yeah.
And I've already got a couple of our amateurs. We need more.
Yeah.
We need some boylesque people.
Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Our boylesque people did so fucking good
so
last year.
So fucking good.
So fucking good.
So good.
It was.
Autumn really wants me to do it.
You do it. Do it. Absolutely do it. Yes. I'm telling you right now, everyone should take off their clothes on stage at least once in their life. Everyone. It is therapy that you didn't know you needed.
Oh, I love that. That is so great.
Yeah. But yeah, you'll have to join us. I'll send you some info about it.
Yeah. September. Yes. Yeah. Keep us posted because I'll share it when it's like when it comes up. Was there anything else you want to talk about? Any other things you want to hit on?
I don't know. I talked about my crazy Christian mother.
Yeah.
That's always like a really hard issue for me because like I go back and forth on my like love for her and my complete distaste for
her politics.
For her politics and how religion has shaped it and how it has shaped her and shaped the way that she approaches her family.
Yeah.
So I'm like, obviously I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
But I'm also kind of angry.
Yeah.
I'm a bitter atheist.
Yeah.
But I'm not really bitter about all religion or even all Christianity. I'm just mainly bitter about how it's like, how it's affected my family.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I see all the like, and it's not even the worst. Mine's not, I mean like by far the worst.
Cause
obviously they haven't like kicked me out of the house and, you know, excommunicated me or no shit. No, what? What was that? No or no shit. I don't know what I just said. But that was one thing I wanted to kind of touch on just because I feel like a lot of people when they approach burlesque and they think about it, they're like, oh God, what will my family think? Like, what will my work think?
Yeah.
And that's another thing that I've had to tiptoe around because I worked for a private club. And when I say private club, I don't mean the dancey kind. I mean the stuffy white men that rule the world kind. And so I had to be a little hush hush about it. But then I would run into members at my shows.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Oh, man.
But I made a decision where I was like, you know, I'm not going to hide who I am at work.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, I'm not boisterous about it. I don't like put it in anyone's face. I'm not like, oh, you should see the pictures from last week's show. And I don't really friend them on my Betty page.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not going to hide the fact that I do it. Like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? Well, I have a burlesque show on Saturday night and a podcast on Sunday.
Yeah.
Cause I forget how many muggles are out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, like when I ask people what they do, I don't expect them to give me their work. I expect them to give me their art.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like that?
I ask specifically, what do you do creatively?
Yeah. I think that everyone has that. I think that everyone lives a double life. It's so weird to me because I'm like, you know, I'll be like, so what do you do? And they'll be like, oh, well, I'm an accountant. I'm like, no, what do you do?
Yeah.
What?
And some people like their job is their art and that's great.
That's great.
But I think it's rare.
I think, but it's all, I don't see it.
Yeah.
Like, but it's hard for me to comprehend.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you don't go home and like at least knit?
Yeah.
No, you watch The Bachelor? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I does not compute.
Yeah, right.
What do you do when you get out of here?
What do you make?
Yeah. What do you make? Yeah. What do you do when you get out of here that, you know, makes you feel alive?
Yeah.
Oh, going to work and going home makes you feel alive. That's
awesome. That's great.
I don't know how to do that.
I don't know how to,
I don't, and that's the thing is like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know how to dive into
be fulfilled by my job.
Yeah.
My muggle job.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is like, I don't even get fully fulfilled by burlesque because I have this business side of me that is very fulfilled right now with my work.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm doing really well and I wear a suit to work and I'm doing sales. Like, and I do this and I'm very fulfilled in my actual job.
Yeah.
And I'm in a very wonderful place in my life right now. Like I said, today you caught me on a really high upswing.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm fulfilled by my job, and I'm being fulfilled by my art. I have my burlesque. I have the Rockabilly Festival coming up. I have my band stuff coming up. So, like, I'm very fulfilled art-wise.
Yeah.
And then I have a fulfilling, like, relationship and a home life. So, it's, like, I'm in a very good place right now.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me to imagine taking one of those factors out.
Yeah.
And feeling fulfilled.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
it's hard for me to be like, oh, I should just quit burlesque so I can focus on my work.
Right.
can't do that.
It's a delicate balance. Yeah, of everything.
And if I were ever to quit work just to do burlesque, I would have to own my own business.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like I'd have to have my own place to do it.
Yeah. So what this episode will come out in 2 weeks. Okay. So what do you want to plug?
Well, 2 weeks as in
like 2 weeks from today.
Okay. So last night I just did my local music show with some awesome local bands. And even though you can't see it because it happened last night, I still think you should go in and check out the bands that we're performing to. We take their music and we perform it. And we've got Zoo Trippin', Topher James and the Biscuit Brigade, Betsy Ross, who is literally one of my favorite local bands right now, and Shorty Allen and the Skirt Chasers. So just plugging some local music just for the fun of it.
Yeah, I love that. I was like, plug something of yours. And you were like, well, I'm going to plug something else.
I'm like working with these wonderful people and they deserve plugged. That. And that's the reason why I chose to work with them.
That's great.
And then May 20th, I am going to be at Victory's with my band Rachel's Haircut.
Okay.
We are a 90s all rock band. we're a 90s alt rock band, so I get to bring out my inner like Gwen Stefani, Liz Phair. I get to scream, which is fun because you don't get to do that a lot in burlesque.
Right.
So I've got that coming up on May 20th. June 1st through the 4th is the first Midwest Rockabilly and Burlesque Festival.
Ooh.
It's a 4-day festival of burlesque, rockabilly music. We have a prom night. We have a pinup competition and tea and cookies on Sunday. So it's just going to be an entire festival of
fun.
There's
going to
be some workshops on Saturday where you can do like pinup yoga and you'll do like workshop hair and and all of that stuff. So we've got that coming up the 1st through the 4th. And then I got Amateur Les coming up. Those are the big ones. Mm-hmm. Every 4th Saturday of the month, they do Girls Gags and Giggles.
Yes.
And then every other Saturday or every, not every other, I'm sorry. Every 2nd Saturday of the month, we do like a themed show. So the theme Babes on Broadway was the one that we did earlier this month. And I'm doing the local showcase in 2 weeks from today. And I think the next one, what month is that? June. I believe that's our Pride one. We're going to do Rainbow.
Sweet.
Like, so every burlesque performer performs with like a color from the rainbow.
Oh, awesome.
So
that'll be fun.
We've got lots of cool stuff coming up. I got a lot of work to do.
Yes. Well, but get at it, girl. Yeah, I appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for
having
me. It's been fun.
Yes.
I had super fun.
I know. Me too. We talked for like an hour before we even started recording.
I was like, am I going to have any material? But then I remembered I like to talk.
I do too.
Yeah. And then we're both very narcissistic people.
Yeah. Oh,
so.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. Come back, please. Please. I'm sure we'll have another hour at least to talk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we'll have lots to say.
Yes.